Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All About Entrepreneurs. We're excited that you decided to tune in to the show today. Heard every weekday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Well, we want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out. We want you to get ready to take lots of notes. We want you to go to another level in your life because it's all about entrepreneurs. Well, we have exciting guests who will come and teach you the strategies, the tips, the tools for you to be successful at life, at work, at school, and in your business. And now your host, the power coach, Lalisa, and the possibilities coach, Cassandra.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, good morning. How are you today?
I am great. How are you?
I am awesome. I am so glad that today is the day that the Lord has made, and I am choosing, because it is a choice, to be glad in it. Listen, how was your weekend?
Oh, my God. It was so relaxing. Nice and quiet, just the way I pictured it, and it went off without a hitch. So I am excited.
Yes. Awesome.
How was your weekend?
My weekend was an exciting weekend. Yeah, I had an awesome weekend. Got to do some reflecting and had a conversation with Dr. Gerald Higginbotham, who is also, one of our few African-American pilots, and he's got some exciting things going on, and just doing some exciting things in the city to help African-Americans. So that's exciting when people always want to give back to their community when they feel like they've been so blessed. So had an awesome time with him. And, one of my favorite scriptures I've been thinking about this morning is Jeremiah 29:11, that talks about, I know the thoughts that I have for you. You know, God has an amazing plan for our lives. And if we will watch God, we're going to be utterly amazed, absolutely amazed. And I know yesterday when I went into church, and as I was walking in, the bishop was saying, you know, God wants to blow our minds. God absolutely wants to blow our minds. And you know what? I am so glad about it, because I'm glad I serve that kind of God that wants to give me so much more than I can imagine or think. That's exciting. He wants us to have exciting lives, and he wants us to be blessed. I'm so glad about that. I really am.
And I am too.
You've got a great blessing that you have going on. How is that new job going as the assistant to the vice president? How is that going for you?
Well, it's already a month, and so I started May 5th, so somewhere around there. So already a month has gone by this week. It's just finished 4 weeks, and, you know, it's been very interesting to learn about what it takes to be successful. It's interesting to learn how they really do or maybe they're just starting to do it, but I think they've been doing it, how they factor college into one's career. And so I know a lot of times people think that, you know, I don't need, you know, college and all of that, and, you know, and but then that's fine if you have active use of your talent, gifts, and skills, and you're going to go out to the marketplace and position yourself. But for everyone else, go to college and learn how to gain a new skill or enhance what you have, and then there's a direct, you know, result in a, for a career waiting for that person. So now what they're doing is they're forcing us colleges to connect the dots for people, whereas before it was, okay, come here, get your degree, and then you're pretty much on your own to find a career. But now they're doing something a little bit different. They have us colleges partnering with companies so that people can make a smooth, swift transition. So we take you from high school to college to your career. And then you get people like us that are helping people find their purpose and things like that. So it's just about to be a beautiful situation. So I'm loving it.
Awesome. That is absolutely awesome. You know, it is just so phenomenal. You just never know where God is going to take you. And I know when I took my first college class, I went to college, I didn't even really think I was that smart, you know, but something in me wanted to try. And I'm so glad about it. I mean, really almost from the first semester, God has always blessed me to be on the dean's list, and I just never thought I was that smart enough to do that. But you know what? If we will take a risk, if we will take a chance, we will watch God and be utterly amazed. God does want to blow our mind. God does have a plan for us. And if we will yield to that plan, you know, the Bible says the steps of a good man, and I'll say a good woman, they're being ordered by the Lord. And if we will seek his face, he'll direct us. And that's exciting. That's exciting. So whether you're starting a new ministry or a new business, God is wants to be in the middle, smack dab in the middle of everything you do. If you will yield to his plan, if you will seek his face, you can't go wrong, you know? Prayer never hurt anybody.
Yeah, and what else I learned is that, I learned this too, Cassandra, that college is more about learning than knowing. If you are teachable and you're there to learn and become like a sponge, you will get more out. I mean, you know, sometimes intellect can get you, you know, pretty far. But you may not, you don't have to be the smartest to be successful at college. You have to be willing to work hard. And if you're, like I tell my students, you know, take a chapter, you know, it may, somebody could read the chapter once and get it. It may take you five times. If you're willing to do what it takes, if you're open to learning, you know, you can do it. You can ace it. And, people need to know that, you know. Don't hold back. And don't forget the Bible says, if any man has wisdom, ask God for it. Simply ask. You could be, I didn't even graduate high school. I dropped out. I flunked out. I was dead last. You know, I basically kicked out. But when I went to college and I said, God, you know, your word says that I could ask you for knowledge and wisdom, Lord, give me the wisdom. And you know what? God did it. Because he'll do it. He'll do everything he said. And we just gotta ask.
Yes. And you know what? Yes. And all you need is mustard seed faith. Do you know how big a mustard seed is? I mean, it's like, it's tiny, you know. It's very small. But God is saying that's all you need to have. So it's not like, you know, I got to have big faith. He just said mustard seed faith, just a little bit of faith. And if we would just water our faith more than we water the doubt, if we would believe more in what we're asking for than the possibility of it not coming to pass. He said mustard seed faith. You know what? When I think about that, that gives me hope. It's like I'm there. If that's all you need, Father, I'm there. I got the mustard seed faith. I'm going to believe you. I'm going to take you at your word because you spoke the world into existence. So obviously, you know, you've got a plan greater than my plan because I just got here. You know, I haven't been in this earth suit that long. So obviously God knows what he's doing. So that's pretty exciting.
Well, here's what I can say about faith. Faith is action. Faith is not sitting hoping, wishing. Faith is, okay, if you believe that you can go to college, go fill out the application. If you believe that you can get a home, go down to the realtor and talk to the agent. If you believe that you can get a job, go fill out the application. Faith takes action. That's why a lot of people don't see their faith working, because faith is action. You know, you believe that you can do something, start a business. Well, you got to first go and learn how to write a business plan, or go talk to someone about how to start a business, or simply, you know, you've got to do something. Faith without works is absolutely dead. D-E-A-D. You got to say it takes action. The woman with the issue of blood didn't sit and said, I hope if Jesus walked by. No, she pressed her way in. That means she was moving. She was doing something, even though she may have been crawling. She was still doing.
Yeah. Awesome, yeah. Awesome.
Woman of God, with that. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's it.
Well, you know what, you and I, we can tag team preach all day long, because I'm telling you, when you're talking about God, you can't help but to get fired up. Well, we have someone with us today that I'd like to introduce that's going to fire us up. I have heard the man of God preach on many occasions, and he is such a blessing. And, you know, when you go to the church, there's just such a spirit of love, such a spirit of, you know, wanting to connect with God's people. And I'm telling you, those are important qualities to look for in any church, you know, for a pastor that has a heart for people. You would hope that all pastors or bishops do, but I don't know. But anyway, I thank God for this man of God, Bishop Alonzo Johnson, who's the pastor of Tribe of Judah in St. Louis, Missouri. And he is known throughout the United States for a message that, you know, touches the hearts of God's people. And he wants to connect. He wants to make a difference in his community. And I've met his lovely wife and got beautiful children. And his mom is so loving. You come in the church, gives you a big hug, and makes you feel welcome. And that's important when you go to a church. And, you know, especially if you're not a member, you know, you come in and, you know, you feel like the odd man out because you may not know anyone. And to have someone come over and be inviting, that really does make a difference. And yesterday when I went to his church, he talked about God wanting to blow your mind. I said, come on, Lord, bring it. You know me, Coach Luis. I'm like, bring it, Father. I want it all. And so with that being said, we welcome Bishop Alonzo Johnson. How are you today, sir?
Okay. Good morning, dear sister. We are well. Thank you so much. We just give God all the glory and all the honor. Thank you for allowing us this time and space to share with you and our dear sister that I've heard here just moments ago. Thank you so much, but God is good. So thanks for having us this morning. How are you guys?
Oh, just great, yes, just great. Now, you used to speak on the radio in St. Louis for, I think you told me, about 5 years or so, huh, at one time?
Yes, ma'am. We did about 4 or 5 years. I guess it was about 7, 8 years ago we were on 690, and something interesting that the Lord told me prior to joining the station there, he told me not to go on to preach or teach. He told me only to go on and pray for people and open up the lines and just take good old-fashioned prayer requests. And we did that for a few years, did not preach, did not teach, because God wasn't interested in trying to promote me, as it were. He just wanted his people prayed for, and he wanted us to minister prayer. And, you know, when you obey God, of course, we all know there's blessings tied to obedience. And so as we obeyed the Lord every Thursday from 4 until 4:30, we were on that station, and people start coming to the church just because we were praying for them and praying their spiritual needs. So it was a blessing from the Lord, and God did some amazing things. And so we thank him for that.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, prayer is so needed in church. And sometimes, you know, because I have lived in different parts of the country, and you see sometimes they don't even want to pray for people at the front of the sanctuary. They'll you know, whisk you out and take you somewhere else. Now, let me ask you this. How long have you been preaching?
I have been preaching about 28 years.
28 years. My God, that's amazing. You don't even look like you're old enough to have been preaching that long. What a blessing. What I love is your mom told me that actually you started preaching when you were like 9 or 10 years old.
Yeah, that was probably a little bit more official. I was given, you know, the official date was about 28 years ago, so that would make it, yeah, that would make it about 35 years or so. but officially, actually, I started, you know, officially preaching. It's a cliche. So when people say, well, I knew the Lord called me to preach. Well, that's not necessarily my story. I did not know. Initially, you all were talking about college, and from about the age of 13 onward, all I saw and wanted to be was an architecture engineer. And throughout high school, I concentrated my courses to that degree, and on to college. That's all I thought was, this is what I'm going to do in my life, is to be an architect, and spent lots of time doing that. As I said. And my junior year in college, my world just turned upside down, and the Lord called me into ministry. I am still an architect, just the architect of souls today. So,
I like that, architect of souls.
I like that, Pastor. I think I'm going to borrow that, if I may. I'll say, yeah, God sent me to school for business, and I'm still in business, but I'm in the business of soul winning. Oh, I love that.
Amen to that. Amen to that.
Now, Bishop, did you actually start, you were given an opportunity to preach at 9 or 10? Is that what your mom meant? Or
No. I think what she meant was just in-house, you know, amongst the family and the word of the Lord, and I thank God for my mom and my family, you know, a very stern family with a consciousness of God and a desire to serve God. I mean, we, you know, grew up in the church, but I think what she meant was, you know, coming up in an environment and home where I was free to learn the Bible. And she noticed, and some of my relatives noticed, that I did take a liking to the Word of God at a young age, and so they put me in a position that it was conducive to share the Word of God, even at such a young age. And you know, most of us, we obviously walk away from that at some point. We get distracted and those types of things. We have to have some sense of balance in life, and so. You know, later we came back, if you will, to the things of God. But, so the actual pulpit preaching was about 19 years old.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let me ask you this, and I know I had a conversation with you briefly about it, and I talked to your mom, and she's on the line. Hello, Mom. She's such a lovely person, and hello to your wife, too, who is absolutely awesome. When I was telling you I went to see the movie Heaven is for Real by T.D. Jakes, about a little boy that has an experience at a young age where he goes to heaven, and he has these experiences, and it really makes his father and mother really reevaluate, you know, if they really believe God or not. And it's really phenomenal. Did you have some experiences when you were a young child you know, where you felt like the Lord was talking to you or gave you some revelations. Just kind of tell us how that was for you as a child, hearing from the Lord, or if you had those kinds of experiences.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for asking. I do recall just a couple of experiences that I remember. I remember Psalms 23 was a passage that I just could not break myself free from. And it was a passage of scripture that obviously at 10 or 12 years old, you don't understand it, as it were. But it was the passage that I just meditated on. And obviously at that time, I knew nothing about meditation, but it was just a passage of scripture that absolutely spoke to me. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. And, you know, as you go down that wonderful story, I was always fascinated by the life of David, and obviously, as most of us, captivated with his youth and understanding how the Lord called him and certain things that God did for him. And one of the things that was so precious for me was understanding David's anointing. And what I mean by anointing, not necessarily in the church sense as it's used today, but in his calling of God. Saul, as we all know, was anointed with a vial of oil, but David was anointed with a horn of oil. And there's a big difference there, and it's not to turn it into a preaching or teaching moment, but there's a big difference between being anointed with a vial of oil and versus a horn of oil. The vial of oil suggests that it was a man-made anointing, where the horn of oil suggests that it was God and it was a sacrifice, because obviously that horn had to be removed from that ram, and who obviously has given his life, hence Jesus Christ. And so when I looked at, even as a young boy, I was always fascinated with David's life and his journey. And in some respects, I kind of envisioned myself, you know, a David, if you will. And I remember my mom and I were walking down a local street here in St. Louis at about age 17 or so, and I said to her, I said, "Mom, I really, really believe that God has called me to preach." I said, "I have no idea what that means, but I just believe it." And she, of course, embraced it and said, "Hey, whatever that means, I'm with you." And, you know, the journey begins. But there were a couple times where I know that God spoke to me. And from a young age, he's always given me levels of revelation, you know, looking at the scripture deeper than what it may appear to be on the surface. And so I just thank him for that.
What an awesome testimony. It really is. And I thank you for sharing that. Now, when did you finally feel to move out and start a work of the Lord? When did you, you know, move out and begin your own church, your own ministry?
Yeah, that's a great question as well. And as I said, I've been in ministry about 28 years. The ministry Tribe of Judah is a 14-year-old ministry as of this year. I spent all of the 90s with another man of God. In his work, a ministry he was called to, a very dear man of God. When my wife and I got married in 91, the Lord spoke to me, and he told me to leave the home church that I grew up in. The home church was, at that time, you know, what we would classify as a mega church. It was, you know, over 500 people and a very strong church, successful, and you know, I was trained in that church, did youth ministry in that church, and all kinds of stuff. And but after I got married, the Lord told me to leave. And not that anything was wrong, he just told me I have something else for you. And so there was a pastor that was a son of the ministry, and the Lord told me to go and help him. He was in a smaller work of about 40, 50 people, and the Lord let me know he needed some help. And he was playing as a musician. He was preaching. He was teaching. I mean, just doing everything, bless his heart. I'll make a long story short, I went there in the early 90s, and just it was an opportunity to learn ministry at the ground level and really get my feet wet, as it were, to understand how to really care for the people of God. So all of the 90s I was with him, and within a year of being with him, he laid amazing responsibility on me. I was placed in charge of the traditional Sunday school that they had at the time, as well as his midweek service. Now, that may not seem much, but I don't know many pastors that would turn over their midweek Bible study to another young preacher. But he saw the gift of God on my life to teach, to preach the gospel, and so I submitted to that. And so we were in charge of his all of the educational curriculum for the church within a year of being there. And so throughout those 9-10 years we were with him, we just helped him and came alongside him and served faithfully. I believe, not to digress, but I believe that faithfulness is so the heart of God. It's so the heart of God to be faithful where God has called you. Having said that, between 1998 and 2000, the Lord spoke to me. And occasionally he would say, tribe of Judah, tribe of Judah. Just every so often he would say tribe of Judah between 1998 and 2000. Well, an interesting thing happened in 2000. In the spring of 2000, I got a call, well, my pastor got a call from our home church. As I said, he grew up in the same church I did. He's about 10 years my elder, and so he had left years before I came to help him. He got a call from the home church, and they were without a pastor. Now, this is the church I grew up in. This is the church that is our foundation. It's a strong church. Well, they found themselves without a pastor in 1999, but they called him in 2000 in the spring and said, can you send Johnson? They were referring to me. Can you send Johnson over to help us out? We need about 30 days of preaching. We need somebody to cover the pulpit for about 30 days. Now, would you be okay that he comes? And, obviously we know him. He grew up here. Some of his peers are still here, blah, blah, blah. So he said, yeah, I can let him go. Obviously this is a home church. So we went in May of 2000 just for what we thought was a 30-day assignment. And let me say that I had not spoke to anybody about, except my wife, about Tribe of Judah, just laying in my spirit over a 2-year span. I had not spoke to anybody but her about it. Well, when I went to the home church in May, the church had fell off in its attendance. It was probably down to about 200. My first Sunday there preaching, 18 people joined the church. And then the following Sunday, we had 35 to get baptized. By the end of May, the church said to me, and this is the church I grew up in, they had never heard me preach. They had never heard me preach because I had not officially taken the pulpit there in that capacity. And so by the end of May, the leaders of the church said, is there any way possible you could stay another month? Well, we thank God for that. One month turned into a 4-month assignment. So May, June, July, and August, I was there. In August of that year, I got a call from their trustees and their board. They called me at home. I was bivocational at the time. I was working for the bank and traveling across the country for some banking things, but they called me in August, and they said, we've taken a vote, the church has taken a vote, and we'd like for you to be the pastor. All you have to do is say yes. Now, this is attractive because, the church is growing again. It was a starting salary that was very good, to say the least, and they called me at home, and the Holy Ghost said to me, no. Now, that was tough because this is a church that I grew up in, and what an amazing opportunity to pastor the church that you grew up in. Well,
yeah.
The Holy Spirit said to me, no. And without hesitation, I said, you know, with all due respect, I don't believe it's what God has called me to. And I, at that time, I was not thinking about Tribe of Judah. As I said, the Lord only spoke it a few times over a two-year period, maybe five or six times over about a two-year span. And but I had the wisdom of God to say, no, that's, I just don't believe that's what God has called me to do. So we respectfully declined that offer. And the Lord told me after that, he said, you I'm going to send you back to where you were so you can go back and help the man of God. And he also said that if I didn't leave, they would not, they, the church, my home church, they would not select a pastor. They had some candidates in waiting. But anyway, so I went back to the church I was serving, and in at the first Sunday of September, I'll make a long story shorter, first Sunday of September, I went back there. The people welcomed my wife and I back, and they had missed us for a few months because I've been there almost 10 years. So the first Sunday back, the Lord said to me, I was sitting in the pulpit and just, you know, reuniting with my pastor, and the Lord said to me, now you're ready. Now you're ready. So what I didn't know was the Lord took those 4 months of intense preaching and development to let me know that I was ready for pastoring. And so in October, I didn't say anything to my pastor in September, just got back on my assignment, kept teaching. In October, the Lord gave me a peace to go to him and call a meeting. Now, here's where it gets amazing. In October, I went to my pastor and I requested a meeting, and I said, Pastor, I really believe the Lord has called me to pastor. I would love your blessing. Now, dear sisters, I had not spoken to anybody about what the Lord had said to me. His first words to me was, son, I've known that you were supposed to pastor for 2 years now. He said this. He said, what took you so long?
Oh, wow.
He said, what took you so long? I've known it for about 2 years, which would have been 1998 when the Lord first started talking to me about it. And so, you know, we received his blessing. You know, a couple of weeks later, he gave me permission to come before the people. And again, this is a smaller congregation, but he gave me a blessing. And I remember vividly, and I'm just adamant about this. This is a whole other talk show with respect to, you know, pastors and preachers leaving their church to start a work and not doing it right. That's a whole other show. But when I spoke to him, I said, Pastor, if you will allow me, I'd just like to, you know, address the people and let everybody here know not to leave this church. What I didn't want was anybody leaving that ministry, because people do that and they like certain, you know, styles and this and that, but I did not want that. And so legally and biblically, I only had rights to my wife, my two-year-old, and my mother legally from a biblical standpoint. And so I encouraged those people there. I said, don't any of you leave here. I believe God has called me to start a work, and I have the faith. You all were talking earlier about faith is action. And I said, hey, I have the faith that God's going to do this. He has spoken to me about it. I don't know tomorrow, but I trust him. And so we got his blessing in October. We had our first service in November. Our first service, now this is going to be amazing here. Our first service, first Sunday of November 2000, we had 18 people join the church, our very first service.
Wow.
But that offer,
wow.
The offer.
That
now watch
amazing.
This. Yeah, watch this. The first offering was $1,800. Okay, so you got to be saying to yourself now, what's going on with this 18 thing? What's going on? Well, I love study. I love study. I love Hebrew study. I love Greek study. There is a study that I believe God is going to introduce more and more to the body of Christ. It's called Gematria. It's nothing new in the Jewish community, nothing new, gematria, but the Western world, we haven't been introduced as much. It's starting to make some headway. A few years ago, God introduced me to gematria by a great woman of God called Bonnie Gant, who's going to be with the Lord now, but she wrote a work on the subject of gematria. Gematria is it's bigger than biblical numerology. And in one sentence, gematria is every word in the Bible has a numeric value. Okay, it's not quite like the ELS code or the Bible code that came out a few years ago. In the ELS code or the Bible code, there is a skip letter sequence. So you may count five words, and then you'll take that valuation, et cetera, et cetera. But in gematria, you take the entire word. The entire word has a numeric value. Well, to make this short so we can get on to something else, the number of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ is the number 18.
What?
In the subject of gematria, Lord Jesus Christ equates to the number 18. Now, I didn't know that years ago. I just started studying this about 5 years ago and then teaching it to our people, you know, as the Lord should lead. But so when I look back and see the hand of God showing me the number 18, I had no idea what God was doing. And so, you know, I just thank God for how his hand has been on this ministry. And I thank him for it. So sorry for a long answer, but I hope that answers somewhat of your question.
What is your vision for the church, your local body, if you could tell us in a, you know, a couple of sentences, what is your vision or your heart, you know, what has God called you to for this body of believers?
Also another great question. I believe God has called me, Alonzo, to biblically educate the people of God. And that's putting it just sharp. You know, our mission statement rather, is to lift up the name of Jesus, to biblically educate the people of God en route to reaching the world and tearing down the kingdom of darkness. That's our mission statement, and I believe that what's primarily on my life is to communicate the word of God in revelation and simplicity.
Right.
At the end of the
That's
day,
awesome.
I believe I'm a teacher at the end of the day.
Praise God. Now, I know you have in your church, I saw something that we are called to love, or there's something that alludes to that, because I know, I remember when you, when I first told you I wanted to interview you, you came up to me and embraced me, and when I left, I don't think I've told you this, I felt such a presence of the Spirit of God. I felt love. That's the only way I know how to describe it. I felt like you imparted, I mean, in just a few minutes of meeting you, within being in your presence, I felt
Amen.
Such a sense of love, of the love of God. And I very rarely feel that, like that.
Amen.
From, you know, being in someone's presence. So I know God is absolutely with you, but there was such a presence of love, and I felt such peace.
Amen. 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 All glory to God. All glory to God there. We just, you know, we're no different. And I told the people yesterday something that, again, I'm not going to disrespect any pastors at all, but I told our people something yesterday that I believe a pastor must pastor never forgetting what it's like in the seats. And many pastors, once they get behind the pulpit and have been pastoring for a while, some pastors can forget what it was like on the other side. And I was sharing with Tribe of Judah yesterday that as long as I've been in ministry, I try not to forget what it's like. And so if I'm in a ministry, I want the Word of God to be preached and taught in a way that's not over my head, but that it can bring me along and I can understand those things as well. And secondly, I desire to be in a church that, you know, I mean, no church is perfect. We know that. but at least the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God's love is present, and it's an environment that I can be free and comfortable to experience God, worship God, as it is best for me. And so that's really what we're trying to create. I mean, we've got a long way to go, but that's what we're trying to create.
And I like that you talked about being intentional. I think I told you I ministered at a church for a New Year's Eve service about being intentional. You get up in the morning and you're intentional to take a shower or a bath. You're intentional about brushing your teeth, combing your hair. As Christians, we need to be intentional about making sure we tell people, come to church. And you know, we don't have to, we can't make anyone, but we need to at least offer the invitation. And being an evangelist, I've asked a lot of people, well, how come you haven't been to church before now, or why aren't you going to church? And you know what the number one thing people would say to me, Pastor? They would say, because no one asked me.
Yeah.
People
yeah.
want someone to ask them. They want to feel invited. And, I mean, that to me, that just seems so kind of odd and peculiar. You're waiting for someone to ask you? You know, do you wait for someone to ask you to start a job? I mean, I don't quite get it, but I've taken my own personal survey, and people again and again say, because no one asked me. I find that absolutely amazing. But we've got to be intentional. What do you say about that word?
I totally agree with you. I totally, totally agree with you. Intentionality is the foundation for momentum. Intentionality is the foundation for momentum. And so without momentum, we cannot advance in the land. This is an interesting thing that God spoke, is that when you look at, from a biblical perspective, I was sharing not too long ago that there's a difference between the old man and the flesh. And I won't get into all of that, but there's a difference. And so I was making a biblical analogy in this respect, that the old man, our old nature, is likened to Pharaoh being wiped out when he pursued the children of Israel. God wiped him out with one move, one stroke of his power, as we know that when they were chasing him and then they came through the Reed Sea. Most people call it the Red Sea, but actually the Reed Sea. And so he wiped out Pharaoh's army with one move. Well, that is a typology of our old nature, the old mind that wants to do sin. When it comes to the flesh, having come through that baptism of water, and then we have a new nature given to us by Christ, it is likened to what God told Joshua and the children of Israel. He said, when you get to the land of promise, the land of Canaan, he said, there's going to be giants in the land. Now, you're well able to defeat these giants, but they're going to be there. So giants, I was sharing with our people, the flesh is likened to a storehouse of giants, and we have to defeat those giants one at a time, as God told Joshua. So I'm saying that to say this, that many times when people are not intentional, it's because they have not defeated the giants in their life one at a time. And the giants will be there, but we have to be able to be intentional about defeating each one, because giants don't kill themselves.
All right. Wow.
Yeah, so, amen.
That's awesome. Now, Coach Elise, I know she's probably got some questions, too. Just jump in, woman of God, whenever you're ready. But it's just a great opportunity to speak with you. And what do you feel like God is saying to the body of Christ at this time or in this season?
Well, thank you again, and I'm humbled I'm not even worthy to really attack such a question. Let me say that right away. I'm being very, 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 very serious and sensitive to that, because it's a massive question. And so I'll put it in a couple of bullet points. Number one, with so much facing the body of Christ, I'll put my answer in some bullet points. How about that? I think that the generals of our faith, whoever we define them to be, whoever we define the generals of our faith right now, the Billy Grahams of today, whoever we define them to be, I believe the generals at some point are going to have to rally the body of Christ across America. That's one bullet point. Another bullet point is I believe that the body of Christ, I believe what God is saying to us, we have to be apologetic. Okay, we have to be apologetic. And you know, Peter said what apologetics really mean is being ready to give an answer of the hope and the calling that is in you. Now, the subject of apologetics is huge, but I believe the church has to be more apologetic, not apologizing, apologetic. And then thirdly, I believe that God is calling the church back to serious prayer, I mean serious prayer. And then fourthly, I believe that we're going to have to remove the spirit of compromise in the church. We're going to have to gently, delicately, and firmly, and here's the word again, intentionally remove the spirit of compromise in the church. To that end, that the moral compass of the church, in some respects, is not settled in one direction. So we've got to do something about the moral compass of the church. So I'll shut up right there.
Wow. You know what? Now, I do have to say on the one point that you made about the generals of our faith, or the Billy Grahams of today, I truly believe that that we have to step up to the plate, even individually. And what I mean by that, remember the passage, and I hope people don't feel like I'm not trying to take it out of context, but remember when John sent the message back, I'm using it to make a point, and he said, "Are you the one, or shall we look for another?" And I'm saying that to say that I feel like I could say that to you, Bishop. Are you the one, or shall we look for another? And I could say that to our audience. I think we have to be intentional about taking the body of Christ back to prayer, taking the body of Christ back to the foundations. I know I do it individually when I see so much recklessness with people feeling like they can live any kind of life. And what I hear a lot of people say to me as an excuse is, well, you can't judge me. I'm not trying to judge anyone. But the word will be that judge. If I speak a word that the Bible says and you feel like I'm judging you, I'm just the messenger. I'm just repeating what the word of God says. So I'm saying that to say that I feel like I am the one, because God has chosen me since the foundations of the earth, and I'm here in this flesh suit, but I represent Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So, you know, I mean, I know that there can only be one TDJ, but there can only be one Cassandra McKissack. There can only be one Bishop Johnson. So I guess I'm saying this as we are faithful to make the stand and do what we can at the position that we stand in. Only God can give the increase anyway. Only God can do what God does. But I feel like I can make just as much of an impact. Maybe I'm not a bishop, or I'm not some of the other titles that people have. But you know what? For me, it doesn't matter, because I am the church. When I show up, that Christ lives in me. We don't have church, y'all. That is my philosophy. We gonna have church, and I'm not saying we gonna pull out the tambourines and I'm gonna start shouting. I'm saying that the word of the Lord is in my mouth, that I will open boldly and say what it is that I feel like God wants to say. That God can use my life to interrupt me anytime He wants to speak a word of encouragement, a word of hope. to somebody. Amen. And I think we should have that attitude as saints of God, no matter where you are, you know, in your position, you know, not that we're going around saying Jesus, 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 but my point is, as God opens the door to, as he makes the segue, you're talking, having a conversation with someone, you know, I remember even being in college, I had professors who told me they would feel like I was the professor. Because when I start speaking about the Lord and the God would captivate their attention, not me, but Christ in me, the hope of glory, would captivate their attention because I had something they didn't have. Yeah, they had something I needed because I was trying to get my degree. But the bigger point is if we would look at ourselves, I am that general. I am the one that I had a prophecy, and someone told me one time, the world – and whoever God wants that world to be, but the world was waiting on me. I think I'm waiting on somebody to give me permission to be who God called. Hey, God is waiting on, God is looking for me to step forward, for me to take the own, you know, by the handle and go forth with that thing. And so, you know, I know that can be in a whole other conversation because you hear the evangelist in me come out, but I love the Lord. Listen, I would like you to say a word of prayer over the audience. I know Lalisa probably has some questions for you, too, but I would like you to just pray a prayer, whatever's in your heart, for a few minutes, and just go ahead with that, man of God.
Okay. Thank you so much. Just before that, you said that, you know, a lot of people do say that they think that we're judging them, and I often tell people, observation is our right. Observation is our right, and there's a difference between observation and judgment. Yeah. So, but let's just pray. Father, gracious Father, in the precious name of our Savior Jesus Christ, we thank you so much, God, for moving across the world. We thank you, Father, for it is your heart to save, as you said. It is not your will that any should be lost. And so, Father, we pray now for those that have been listening over the airways. We know, Father, that one word will bring deliverance. And somebody that's been listening over the air today, Father, has received a word that came from your heart, from your mouth, through us today on the line. And, Lord, I thank you that it has impacted their lives. It has changed their lives. And, Father, I pray that they will have an awesome, awesome day. Lord, I just give you praise that their lives will be changed. And as the woman of God said, we all are generals in the army of the Lord. And, Father, I pray that you equip, Father, the saints that are here. I pray, Father, that if there's any that have been listening on the line this morning that don't know you, that you would touch their heart and give them the strength to confess by faith Jesus Christ, Lord. And we thank you for this day. We thank you for an amazing day and an amazing week. We give you praise for these two wonderful soldiers in the army of the Lord who are leading and being forerunners on this call to touch your people. I thank you and I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. I didn't know. I know we do have another speaker coming on, but Lalisa, did you have anything that you wanted to add before we brought on David?
Oh, no. I've been enjoying the entire time, so no, all my questions were answered. Awesome. Thank you for so good, you know, good discussion and teaching. Amen. And prayer.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. And I want to go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. What'd you say?
Oh, no. I just said thank you. God bless you.
Yes, yes. And Bishop, since you did mention prayer, and we'll talk more about it later, I do have a prayer breakfast coming up June 28th. And if your calendar is free, I'd love you to come and have words. But I feel like God, you know, like you said, is calling us all back to us. You know, a greater level of prayer and accountability so that, you know, God can be lifted up and we need him so much in our community and all that we do. And so I'll be happy to share some more details with that at a later time. But anyway, thank you so much. You're free to stay on the line, but we do have, Bishop, I want to tell you about David Knight. He's the CEO of the Christian Social Network. It's the Facebook for Christians. And so I know you have your administrator, I think, is Gregory, Elder Gregory. And that's
yes.
probably something that we need to connect him with. But you absolutely want to have your church connected with that. And I'm going to bring David on, and he'll tell a little bit more about that. But if you go to CSN, mycsn.org, and you'll be able to hear, you'll be
okay.
able to learn more about David Knight. So,
okay.
All right, sir.
Let me say this before we get off. I just wanted to thank you, Sister Cassandra, so much for giving us this opportunity. I'm humbled by the Lord. We just love your spirit. We just love what God is doing in your life. And let me just take a moment to thank you so much for allowing us this time. I'm so grateful to the Lord. And we just love you like crazy. So thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to lift up the name of Jesus, our Savior. Thank you so much.
Yes, keep us in your prayers. God bless you, man of God.
Amen. Okay, God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, yes. Wow, what an awesome opportunity to hear from you. That was Bishop Alonzo Johnson. And now we're looking for David Knight. Hello, David. Hello.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I got to tell you, that was awesome this morning by Bishop Johnson. I want to say praise God for that man of God and his awesome word. He said that, you know, I'm paraphrasing that if one person this morning got a word, you know, his job is done. Well, Bishop, I got a couple of them, and I'm going to talk a little bit about a couple of them real soon. Generals, giants, in the tribe of Judah. What an awesome way to wake up to the birds listening this morning.
That's powerful. When you said General Giants
in the tribe of Judah. So I'm in Hampton, Virginia this morning, and we are attending the Hampton University Ministers Conference this morning. That's going to be going a whole week, so I'm excited about being there. I'm excited about being on the All About Entrepreneur show to share what we're doing with the Christian Social Network and the things that we're going to be doing as God actually see fit. Let me just jump right in, Coach. Let's talk about giants.
Yeah, take it away.
The bishop this morning spoke about giants, and that was prophetic for the Christian Social Network because the Christian Social Network is an alternative social media for all those that are on social media that is not really satisfied with the giants that are out there today, the other social network. Those are giants. You know, right now we're just the David, you know, we're just the David among the giants, but we know that our God is greater than any giant that is in the land. So, you know, we're looking for Christians to congregate over to the Christian Social Network at mycsn.org.
Yes.
Let's talk about generals.
Excuse me, sir, one moment, David.
Yes, ma'am.
David,
we're right here.
I'm sorry. I just heard them give us a cue for 90 seconds. We'll probably have to bring you back tomorrow if you're able to. Our talk sometimes cuts us off, so I just thought I'd give you a warning.
Not a problem.
We won't have as much time today.
30 seconds. I got 30 seconds, and I can wrap this up, Coach. Here we are, Miracle Mondays. I want everyone within a sound of the AAE show to remind friends, relatives, and neighbors to stay tuned because Miracle Monday, sponsored by the Christian Social Network and announced on the All About Entrepreneur show, will be coming soon. I think we're about 2.5 weeks out of completing all of the administrative processing. Miracle Mondays, we're going to be blessing a needy family, so stay tuned. We'll be giving out up to $250 every morning on the All About Entrepreneur show. So tune in and stay tuned, and God bless to everyone that's listening. Thank you, Coach. Back to you.
We've got 10 seconds left. Oh, listen, everyone, have a supercalifragilisticexpialidocious day, baby. We hate to leave you. Usually we get a little more time sometimes. it lets us know for about the countdown. So love you all. Please tune in tomorrow. Bring someone with you. Thank you, David Knight. Y'all check out mycsn.org. And we want to make sure that we all connect and that, you know, we just be intentional. You know, show up, be intentional, talk to folks, let them know you love them. You never know who might need to hear that. And so with that being said, Coach Melissa, guess we're about out of here. I've got just a little bit of time according to what it's showing me. So is anybody still on?
Yes, David Knight is still on, Coach.
Okay, because yes. It's countdown. So, I didn't know if you wanted to say anything, Lisa.
Oh, just hey, listen. It's all about entrepreneurs. Just have a great day. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to the show today. God bless. And yes, sitting at my desk right next to me. I can't talk so loud.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, gosh. So glad that everyone is on today, and we hope you tune back in and be intentional. Bring someone with you tomorrow. And
I think Coach Fred may have a. I don't know, Coach. No, did Coach Fred have a comment or no? Okay, so.
Good morning. No, I don't have a comment. I'd like to say good morning, okay, everyone. I know you're running short on time, but. Just wanted to say good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Coach Fred, Coach Melissa, Coach Cassandra. If we can reach out to Bishop Johnson's staff and have someone give me a call, I would greatly appreciate that.
Okay, I will make that connection for you, man of God. I'll be happy to do that. I'll be absolutely happy to do that. And it's not showing any more numbers, Coach Melissa, so I don't know if that means we're actually off. But it's not counting down anymore.
Right, so that's it. That's
yeah, his name of call is dropped.
We'll see you back tomorrow.
Okay, there we go. Okay, be blessed, everyone.
Be blessed.
That's right. There's no stopping you now. Well, thank you for tuning in to another segment of All About Entrepreneurs. Don't forget, stop by our website, www.blogtalkradio.com/allaboutentrepreneurs. And visit us on the web at www.release-your-power.com. Like our friend page on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at twitterandfacebook.com/CoachLalisa. If you would like to get in touch with one of the entrepreneurs or one of the guests that you've heard on this show, please send us a request on Facebook or on Twitter or right here on Blog Talk Radio. Well, if you're not an entrepreneur yet, I don't know what you're waiting for. Go out and make it happen. Again, we'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place, for